position.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 72 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Naya Andweza.
And I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
We have never had more than $250,000 in a year to spend on pavings.
Carter County Fiscal Court has been awarded nearly $500,000.
Moorhead State University will welcome a professional musician next week.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin has vetoed a bill aimed at giving pension relief.
Kentucky State Police announced new technology to help with sexual assault cases.
A Floyd County man is facing charges of child abuse in Winchester.
In sports, MSU baseball grabs another win.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear with a low around 51. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
Carter County Fiscal Court has been awarded nearly $500,000 in discretionary funds for critical pavement improvements on area roads. Improvements will include addressing surface cracks, potholes, rutting, crumbling, shoulders, and base failures to roads that provide access to 161 homes and businesses in the county. Carter Judge Executive Mike Malone says the money awarded won't cover all improvements that need to be done.
Each magistrate selected what they thought were the worst roads in their district, and we turned that into the state. And there were three or four roads that were on the list that didn't make it, and we're going to have to come up with some money to do things for them, that namely Wilson Creek and Fighting Fork are two that come to mind immediately. We'll just have to try to do that on our dime for as far as our money can go.
The county hopes the project will be done in June.
The Moorhead Police Department is holding a fundraiser on Saturday afternoon. The City PD is hosting their second annual truck pull near the Moonlight Stage in downtown Moorhead. Teams of up to 10 people will be trying to pull the department's SWAT vehicle. 15 teams have already registered, but spots are still open to participate. Kim Fannin is the Assistant 911 Director for Moorhead. She says the money raised will go to a good cause.
This is to raise money for our local Round County Special Olympics, and this is to help them cover a lot of expenses that go to state every year, and they just don't have a lot of support, and so this is just a way for us to give back and help them.
Registration for the event begins at 3 p.m., and the action starts at 4. For more information, contact Fannin at the Moorhead Police Department.
Moorhead State University will be welcoming a professional musician next week. Horn player Ronald Beitel will be visiting MSU's campus Monday, April 15th, to perform and teach a master class. Dr. Curtis Hammond is an associate professor of music at Moorhead State University. He says Beitel has a session planned out specifically for the students.
He's going to do a performance. He's going to play a little bit at 1 o'clock, and we'll be in the recital hall, and then he'll work with the student ensemble. They're doing an arrangement of Overture to the Magic Flute, arranged for four horns, and they're going to work on that and play that for him and take his comments. And then at 3 o'clock, he'll do the master class, and that's where I'll have two or three students that are working on their solo works for their juries. We'll play for him and take his comments and helpful hints.
Beitel has been part of a number of professional orchestras. He will be performing in Duncan Recital Hall at 1 p.m. and will be hosting a master class at 3. Admission is free and open to the public.
A University of Kentucky law professor says his new book aims to both encourage and empower voting rights reforms in a time when many are pessimistic about the future. WUKY's Josh James has more.
When it comes to voting rights, election law expert and CNN contributor Joshua Douglas is a cheerleader.
Our system can be fixed.
That's one message of his book, Vote for Us, How to Take Back Our Elections and Change the Future of Voting. It's a narrative that runs counter to the prevailing mood.
So most of what we hear about in the world, when we think about the right to vote, is how voter suppression has taken over, how it's becoming more difficult to participate in the political process. But actually, there's a lot of good stuff happening on the ground in communities all over the country of people working on positive voting rights reforms.
On that list, local initiatives to expand eligibility, enhance access, and push back on big money. As for aspiring activists, the book includes an appendix with information about groups in all 50 states working toward reforming the system. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
A local man traveled to Washington to testify before Congress about the effects of mountaintop mining. Carl Shoup is a third-generation coal miner from Benham, Kentucky. According to WYMT, Shoup told lawmakers during a U.S. House subcommittee hearing why he is against mountaintop removal mining.
I'm just looking around the environment and seeing the water being polluted and the mountains being torn up. I'm trying to fight for our people in our mountains, you know. That's what we've been fighting for.
Kentucky Coal Association President Tyler White also testified at the hearing. He argues against the bill, saying it is too broad and would restrict other types of mining.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin has vetoed the bill aimed at giving pension relief to some state-funded agencies struggling with ballooning retirement payments. The governor says he appreciates the work lawmakers put in on House Bill 358, but felt it violated both moral and legal obligations. Republican Senator Christian McDale voted for the bill. He spoke with WKYT.
There's nothing but bad choices involved with this, and this is the best of all of those because the options are bad for the general fund, for the taxpayer, for the delivery of services, and we're trying our best to strike the balance amongst all three of those.
Though it has yet to be announced, it's speculated the bill's veto signifies the calling of a special session to tackle the issues by the governor.
The Kentucky Legislative Ethics Commission denied a request to reconsider its dismissal of a complaint made by a Democratic lawmaker against the Republican House leader on Tuesday. Representative Jim Glenn alleges Republican House leaders used state resources to help prepare an election challenge against him. According to LEX18, the ethics panel says House Leader David Osborne's actions were authorized by law. Pierce Whites, an attorney representing Glenn, says the decision abandoned rules against using legislative staff in partisan matters. We'll have a look at the rest of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
The Kentucky State Police have announced the use of new technology that will assist with the investigation of sexual assault cases. In cooperation with the company Andy, Kentucky has become the first state in the nation to utilize rapid DNA for sexual assault investigations. The announcement was made today at the KSP Central Forensics Lab and broadcast to the agency's Facebook page. KSP Commissioner Rick Sanders was one of the speakers.
The Andy rapid DNA technology that generates DNA identification from forensic samples in less than 2 hours. I'm going to repeat that. In less than 2 hours, we can do rapid DNA on exhibits to come up with suspects or to prove the innocence of those that have been falsely accused.
Sanders says the technology will not only help with future cases, but will also assist in clearing the extensive backlog of untested rape kits in the state. In 2015, an inventory found over 3,000 untested kits.
A volunteer-run organization in Covington is offering free tattoo removal for individuals who were formerly incarcerated gang members or victims of human trafficking. It started several years ago when Joe Martin began tutoring GED students at the Kenton County Detention Center in Covington. Martin realized that even with a GED, the prison and gang-related tattoos she kept seeing would prevent many individuals from finding employment. Martin decided to start a nonprofit that specializes in tattoo removal at no charge.
About 3 years into it, I kept seeing all these terribly offensive tattoos on these young men and women. And I thought, how are they going to get a job? They can get the GED. So that's what I tutored was GED subjects. But they had some, you know, tattoos on their face and necks and hands and, you know, pretty unemployable stuff.
According to the latest statistics from the Prison Policy Initiative, more than 40,000 Kentuckians are currently behind bars, and most will struggle to find work after being released.
The mayor of Lexington is pressing the reset button on city spending. Mayor Linda Gordon warns city spending is outpacing revenues, and she's recommending the Urban County Council adopt a more restrained budget for the coming fiscal year. Gordon says revenues in the city are softening while spending is on the rise.
Lexington's fixed expenses in personnel, pensions, debt service, utilities have dramatically increased.
Gordon says the upcoming spending plan will focus on slightly scaling back city programs and does not include any tax adjustments or major layoffs, so residents are likely not to notice any changes.
Churchill Downs and Keeneland are breaking ground on a new racetrack in Kentucky. Paul Miles reports.
A groundbreaking is this morning for a live and historical racing venue in Oak Grove, just outside Fort Campbell in southern Kentucky. The $150 million facility will include 1,500 historical racing machines, a hotel, and a track grandstand that will seat 1,200 people. The Kentucky Horse Racing Commission has awarded Churchill Downs and Keeneland a license for 12 live standardbred racing dates beginning in October at the Oak Grove Track. A name and branding for the venue will also be unveiled this morning. I'm Paul Miles.
April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. COSAR Charities founded the Face It movement to raise awareness about abuse prevention. Their guide, Body Safety 101, educates adults about the early signs of abuse. COSAR President Keith Inman says groups are working year-round to prevent abuse.
This region is very sports crazy, and we like to be number one in basketball or number one in football. We certainly don't want to be number one in abuse and neglect. That's the reason that COSAR Charities made a bold move in 2013 to do this. And since then, we've brought together 70 organizations around the state focused on trying to improve those numbers.
The Body Safety 101 guide is online at faceitabuse.org. People who suspect child abuse are asked to call Kentucky's Child Protection Hotline at 1-877-KY-SAFE-1. Taking a look at the weather for tonight, mostly clear with a low around 45 degrees. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 82. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 62. Friday, showers and thunderstorms likely with a high near 73. Chance of precipitation is 70%. Friday night, a 10% chance of showers, partly cloudy with a low around 50. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 69. And Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers with a low around 54. Taking a look at your temperatures for the local listening area. Lexington is 73 degrees. Mount Sterling and Ashland are 71. 74 degrees in Inez. 72 degrees in Grayson. 69 in Flemingsburg. And 73 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
In today's feature segment, the Public Service Commission is looking into the Grayson Rural Electric Cooperative Corporation. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has the story.
As of last month, the Public Service Commission has granted a rate increase for Grayson RECC, but has also ordered the utility to submit to a comprehensive audit of management practices. Andrew Melnikovich is the Director of Communication for the PSC. He says this isn't the first time the commission has looked into the company.
Well, in 2013, that was their prior rate case. The commissioners who were in office at the time were concerned about the fact that Grayson had allowed their financial condition to deteriorate to the extent that it had.
Grayson RECC needed a rate increase to maintain financial stability.
In examining the reasons for the rate increase and the need for a rate increase, found some evidence that Grayson had been not as careful as it should have been about trying to maintain control of its costs in terms of personnel costs.
In the 2013 directive, Melnikovich says the commission gave Grayson specific directions before the next rate case.
To take measures to control its costs, to bring its personnel costs in particular under control, and laid out sort of a list of issues there that the commission was concerned about that Grayson was supposed to address.
When the commission began looking back into Grayson in 2018, Melnikovich says the commission discovered the cooperative had effectively ignored the 2013 directive.
There were real issues with the quality of management of the cooperative, both in terms of the executives and the board of directors. And as a result of that, that is why the commission ordered Grayson to undergo what's called the focused management audit, which the commission will bring in an independent third-party consultant to examine Grayson's management and make recommendations for corrective action.
He says the commission saw evidence of gross mismanagement.
Specifically, those were issues like, for example, entering into a contract with the former attorney, outside counsel, not staff attorney, but outside counsel, for Grayson to pay that attorney and his wife's health insurance costs for the rest of their lives.
Melnikovich says this is a particular issue for Grayson, as the utility is a cooperative.
In the case of a cooperative, it doesn't have shareholders. What you've got are customers who are also the owners of the cooperative. So when the utility gets itself into financial trouble, the only recourse you really have is to recover that money from the customers.
However, cooperatives do have a system of capital credits.
Basically, a reflection of the value of the co-op and their share of that value. And when you leave as a customer, you get those capital credits paid out to you. Or if the utility's doing well, they will pay capital credits to their customers.
Melnikovich says Grayson's leadership must have been aware of this mismanagement because they approved it.
That's one of those things that's going to have to be sorted out in the management audit in terms of when exactly those decisions were made to pay those benefits and who was responsible for making those decisions, and to what extent was the board of directors and the upper management aware of that.
As per commission statute, Grayson will pay for any costs of the audit. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
It's 447 and 72 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Naya Andweza, here with Nacogdoches Miller, and we are coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We are so glad that you've joined us on this sunny Wednesday afternoon. Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Bypass Pond, 897 Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Bypass Pond buys, sells, trades, and loans almost anything of value. Cash for gold, silver, jewelry, and diamonds. Tools, video games, televisions, computers, hunting supplies, music gear, and guitars. Bypass Pond is open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 on Sundays. 897 Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Phone number is 780-7296. Facebook and online, bypasspond.com.
The Eagles grab another win at home. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Morehead State University baseball team wrapped up its two-game series with Alabama A&M this afternoon. The Eagles picked up the win 11-5. That's with the Eagles coming off a shutout win over the Bulldogs yesterday, 19-0. Head coach Mike McGuire says it was also an impressive day on the mound.
Brick was sharp today and commanded it well, and that's what really we wanted out of him. And we didn't want to go too deep, obviously, with the weekend coming up and wanting him available. You know, he's probably not available Friday, but I would hope by Saturday he's available after today. And getting out less than 60 pitches, was very efficient in his five innings of work, and that's important.
Morehead State now prepares for a three-game road series against Austin Peay this weekend. Game one is set for Friday at 7 p.m. The Morehead State softball team is battling for a win with Eastern Kentucky this afternoon. First pitch for the Ohio Valley Conference doubleheader at Gertrude Hood Field in Richmond flew at 3 p.m. Right now, the Eagles are down 2-0 in the top of the fifth inning. In the series, the Colonels have won 9 straight games and hold a 50-25 series advantage. The Eagles' last win over EKU came on March 28, 2015 in Richmond. The game is being streamed live on ESPN+, and as always, live stats are available on msueagles.com. The Rowan County softball team is back in action tonight. The 7-3 Vikings are set to host Montgomery County. Rowan is coming off three big wins at the Where's the Beach Classic last weekend. Coach Larry Sloan says his team is feeling pretty confident.
We're getting better every time we play, especially with our pitching and our defense. So the biggest thing is just looking to see if we're very consistent and making the plays we got to make, coming up with some timely hits, and we've been doing that.
Montgomery County comes into tonight's matchup at 5-7 on the season. First pitch at Sloan Stadium is set for 6 p.m. Taking a look at other regional softball action tonight, Bath County and West Carter face off at 5:30 p.m. in the 16th Region All-A Classic. Also in that contest, Raceland and Fairview meet tonight at 7:30. Outside the Classic action, Fleming County heads to Bourbon County. Boyd travels to Greenup and Russell travels to Huntington. All three of those matchups are set for 6 p.m. In regional baseball action tonight, Elliott County and Raceland face off at 5:30 in the All-A Classic, and West Carter faces Fairview at 7:30. Outside the All-A in baseball action, Lewis County travels to Ironton, Ohio for a 6 p.m. matchup. We'll have a look at tonight's 16th region scores tomorrow on Morning Edition. Rowan County Baseball has a couple of days off before heading to Northern Kentucky on Friday. The Vikings have been going strong this season, with the team currently standing at 11-3. Head coach Scott Collins says he doesn't know what to expect from the teams they'll face this weekend.
It's kind of tough to know, you know, what you're dealing with and what their strengths are and so forth. You know, Pikeville, we probably have a little better idea of them just because of the Eastern Kentucky area. But Simon Kenton, you know, predominantly they're a pretty good program. Play Simon Kenton on Friday, Connor and Pikeville on Saturday.
First pitch for the Vikings' Friday appearance at the Doc Morris Invitational is set for 5:30 p.m. After snapping an 8-game losing streak yesterday, the Cincinnati Reds are now preparing for Game 2 of the series with Miami. The Reds got the shutout, beating the Marlins 14-0, while bench boss David Bell served a 1-game suspension, viewing the game from a booth far away from the field. Bell was suspended after becoming upset when Pittsburgh pitcher Chris Archer intentionally threw at a player during the team's final series game Sunday. Now, Bell tells Red.com he's fine with how everything panned out.
I think MLB did a good job of, you know, identifying the fact that Archer did intentionally throw at our player, did intentionally try to injure him, and he was suspended for 5 games. So at the time, though, you know, my only course of action was to try to get their pitcher ejected. I was told that he would have been ejected if he would have thrown at his head. And to me, that's a dangerous approach.
Game 2 with the Marlins is set for 6:40 this evening at Great American Ballpark. And finally, in sports this afternoon, the Morehead State University men's golf team has wrapped up regular season play. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has more.
Morehead State wrapped up play at the Missouri Tiger Invitational Tuesday. The Eagles wrapped up the two-day event 11th, falling 3 strokes off a 7th top 10 finish this season. Facing a tough field, Morehead State held its own against a field that featured 5 teams ranked inside the top 100 of the Golfstat rankings. The Eagles fashioned scores of 292, 280, and 292 across the 54-hole event. The team's final tournament total of 864 marks their 5th lowest output of the season. Morehead State now turns its attention to the Ohio Valley Golf Championships. The event will be held at the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail Fighting Joe Course in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. The 3-day event tees off on April 21st. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
And that's going to do it for your Wednesday afternoon sports here on Mountain Edition. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at MSUEagles.com. Softball hosts Eastern Illinois at 1 p.m. on Saturday and SIU Edwardsville at noon on Sunday. More information from MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P rose slightly today as the Federal Reserve reaffirmed that it would keep rates unchanged this year, and the Dow also showed a slight gain as well, with the Dow Industrials finishing up 6.58 at 26,157.16. The S&P 500 was up 10.01 at 2888.21, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 54.97 at 7964.24. Boeing shares weighed on the Dow as the stock dropped 1.1%, while Goldman Sachs rose 1.1%, leading Dow industrial stocks. And the Federal Reserve released the minutes of its March monetary policy meeting. And last month, the U.S. Central Bank did decide to maintain interest rates as steady and actually hold off on any further increases this year. In regard to the closely watched trade negotiations, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said that the U.S. and China have, quote, pretty much agreed on an enforcement mechanism. And in the commodities markets today, commodities pretty much reflected the improved outlook for global growth in terms of the trade agreement possibly moving along. Oil was up 0.75% at $64.46 a barrel, while gold was up 0.3% at $1,312.20 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a pretty good day with the Stock 600 index up 0.25%. In Asia, stocks were mixed with the Nikkei down 0.5%, and South Korea's Kospi index finishing up 0.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Goldman Sachs and Cisco, while the worst performers were Boeing and United Health Group. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Conagra and Discovery, while the worst performers were AmerisourceBergen and Humana. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank up 95 cents at $42.50, Lowe's up 62 cents at $113.76, Marathon Petroleum up $1.45 at $63.61, AK Steel up a penny at $2.77, CSX up 38 cents at $75.07, and Humana was down $8.23, finishing at $266.40. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 45 degrees. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 82. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 62. Friday, showers and thunderstorms likely, a high near 73. Chance of precipitation is 70%. Friday night, a 10% chance of showers, partly cloudy with a low around 50. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 69. Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers, cloudy with a low around 54. Look at your temperatures for the WMKY listening area. Lexington is 73 degrees, 71 in Mount Sterling and Ashland, 74 in Inez, 72 in Grayson, 70 in Maysville, 69 in Flemingsburg, and 73 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State Public Radio.
Coffee Tree Books in Morehead will host a book signing by award-winning newspaper columnist and retired publisher Keith Capus. Signing copies of his best book, The View from My Keyboard, 125 of my best weekly columns. The event will be held from 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturday, April 13th.
A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held in the Adrian Dorian University Center at Morehead State University from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Wednesday and Thursday, April 17th and 18th. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age, 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. All donors will receive a free t-shirt.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Haley Stidham, Leanne Akers, Cody Robinson, Tanner Boyd, Cassidy Stearman, Jack Cottle, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Paul Miles, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Keneally Roberts. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Nacogdoches Miller and all of the MSPR team, I'm Naya Andweza. For WMKY News, all things considered.